So, hi, Mio.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. Would you like to see what I made today?
Yes.
I made a little table with a little cup and a little plate for the cup. And then you put the cup.
What plate did you use?
It's, let me see what it is. Oh, I think it's Daas.
Oh, okay.
A-A-S.
What, paper drying clay?
Yeah.
Okay. Drying clay? Yeah.
Air drying clay. Yeah, nice. I figured I'd start there because I don't have a kiln or anything.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I've seen like doll artists make amazing
with that. Oh, you have to show me because I've seen what people make with this stuff, and I haven't seen that much professional stuff yet. So okay, I think I would be inspired by. Okay, well, welcome to the podcast. You're on Mind Probe with Mom.
Wait, I want to show what I made out of clay.
You made something out of clay?
Yeah.
When?
In July.
Okay, show us.
All right. I made two little mini cups. Wait, can you see them?
Oh, no, I can't see.
Well.
Put your hand behind it.
Go behind like, it?
Oh. Yeah, and see if that. Wait. Yeah. Oh.
I don't know. What the hey? What? How? You can't see it?
It keeps, your background keeps taking over it.
Oh.
I can tell that it looks pretty cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. And there's flowers or like five-pointed stars or?
They're like little frangipani plumerias.
Oh. How did you make that?
Very carefully.
Did you go to a place where they had a kiln?
Yes.
The flowers so pretty.
Cool. So,
it's just a little mug.
Let me introduce my dear friend Mio, the guest of the podcast. So, I'm going to introduce you to the extent that I know how, and then I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Okay. So, this is my friend Mio. She's one of my closest buds. We met at a mystical convention, and then we became mystical friends. And so Mio is a sculptor, and I would just say general all-around artist, because she knows how to do every single thing in the whole world, like literally everything. And I like to tease her that she knows how to like the randomest things. I'll be like, I wish I knew how to do this. And Mio's like, I know how to do 10 versions of that. Like, she knows how to tie knots. She knows how to tie every knot in the world. I don't like if she's making a beautiful bracelet, if she's trying to anchor a ship, she knows how to do it.
Anchor a ship.
Mio, do you know how to do a ship knot? Could you anchor a ship?
No.
I bet you could. You would have some kind of knot up your sleeve that would be able to do that. But so the type of, when I say that Mio is a sculptor, you're like, oh, maybe she like makes beautiful porcelain stuff and she sells it on Etsy. No. I mean, she could if she wanted to. She has sold stuff on Etsy before. I've witnessed it. But Mio is so cool. She is, she works at a place with her husband, and he's very cool. And they get hired to sculpt and build magnificent stuff. And the type of magnificent stuff that they make, a lot of times it's monsters for the film industry. And so if you're watching a movie and there's like a monster and some makeup artist had to design this monster, it might have been Mio. It might have been Mio. And then she also like makes these big giant sculptures that video game companies hire them out for. And then you would see those sculptures at like Comic-Con and stuff, these magnificent, realistic looking sculptures of these, of your favorite characters and stuff. And I mean, you guys just do so much stuff. But then on top of working there, Mio is also an entrepreneur. And she sculpts her own line of toys that you could go to Hot Topic right now and you could find her toys there and you could buy them and you could be like, I listened to this girl on the podcast, Mind Probe with Mom, and now I have one of her toys and they're so cute. So her line of toys is called Mio's Mystic Musings, right? I'm just Mio's remembering.
Mystic. Yeah.
Yep. Mio's Mystic Musings, M-I-Y-O, in case you didn't know how to spell her name. And she's just an all-around beautiful soul. She is, I mean, I couldn't hype you up for days and days. I'm just, you're I love you so much. And yeah. Now, Mio, I would love for you to fill in the gaps and just like, I want to know some of the projects that you've worked on where people might know your work.
Thank you so much for that sweet intro. My goodness.
I couldn't describe you any other way.
I guess I'm the art director and sculptor at a studio called Onyx Forge Studios. That's like my day job. And then like Amber said, I do toys. I love it, like making jewelry on the side and stuff like that too. We did. Oh, did you guys watch Bill and Ted Face the Music?
I haven't seen it yet, but I know that you worked on it.
Yeah, the robot that's in it. We built.
Mom, did you watch that?
No.
Bill and Ted. Yeah, the newest movie. They built a robot person.
Yeah.
So Bill and Ted Excellent Adventures now has Bill and Ted. What?
Face the Music.
Oh, how long ago did that come out?
Like a couple years ago.
4 years ago. Oh. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We gotta watch it. So, Mio.
Yes.
I am so pleased to ask you questions. Not about sculpting or anything like that. I mean, maybe I'll have some little questions for you here and there about that. But the biggest thing is that I'm just so in awe of, like, it's really hard for creative people to have any sort of success, let alone be like doing the kind of work that you're doing. I feel so grateful to know you because there were so many times in my life where I couldn't tap into my own creativity and I couldn't figure out what the heck was wrong with me. I felt so stagnant. I felt like it was impossible for me to enact my ideas. And then just having you around, I was always so inspired by just the fact that you're just always on your shit. Like you have a creative idea and then you make it real. You make it real. And then that work that you do, stuff happens with it. Like I know so many people who, yeah, they're talented and nothing happens. And then it's so nice to know truly talented, good people like you who you make something and then it works out. And I want to pick your mind on how can we be like Mio, basically? If everybody was like you, it would be a great world. Mom, What are your blockages when it comes to trying to create something and put it out into the world?
So I like to play around with resin and the molds. And then I've made like a few like things, painting, but I always have to kind of get the idea from another person's idea. Mm. And then I'm like, oh, I can make that a little bit better and add my touches onto it. So I don't think I can invent things in my head, but I'm like, how does it come to fruition and just like become? Like, how do I, like at one time I remember I thought of, ooh, I love tuna so much, but I hate to squeeze the can and get the tuna oil all over my hands. So I thought about this like automatic can opener. You don't have to touch the can opener. It just knows that it's a tuna can, and then it tilts itself. And then it pops the lid off and you never have to touch the tuna can until the end. And then you place it on the counter. But I think somebody already invented it. And that was like 20 years ago when I thought of it. And now there's a whole kind, all kinds of things like that. And I'm like, but I was the first one, but I didn't know how to go about it.
So it sounds like you are wanting to know the steps of like the creative process.
Yeah, and how to follow through.
Yeah. And
who do you go to? Like, I don't know where you go. And do you have to have a lot of money for it?
Yeah. Perhaps. But to your previous point, I think, Amber, I had this conversation with you first. Like, you were teaching me how ideas have consciousness. And that always really stuck with me. Like, you, if an idea comes to you, you pretty much, like, you can sign a contract with them, the idea. And if you don't follow through with it, the idea will waft away and, like, go to another person that can make their idea a reality, I guess. Like,
right. So I guess step one is be open to the ideas even coming to you and like being receptive. So do you like meditate for your ideas to come to you, or like how are these ideas coming to you?
This is like the hardest thing that I'm trying to practice, but getting off your phone, I think, like, because I'm so addicted to my phone that a lot of times, like, I just need to make sure that I have kind of like to not to be bored, but like just to like empty yourself of external stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And then like something can be birthed within.
Are you doing something mundane while, like, yeah, are you, because you do a lot of sculpting, and so you're probably having a nice blank mind for long stretches of time all the time.
Yeah. So it would be great if I did. I often have like an anime running in the background. Or, you know, it's hard. You know, there's like the going outside, go for a walk. Like, I walk my dogs, and then I make sure I'm not on my phone so I can just think within myself.
So it comes somehow, it slips in there somehow. Yeah. And then what does it look like for you to have an idea? Is it visual? Like, do you see a little character in your mind's eye, or what is it, a feeling that you get? I need to express this feeling.
Right. Like, personally, for me, I think I'm a very, very visual person. So, yeah I kind of see it in my mind's eye.
What are they doing?
Like, the little embers, the toys that I made, I was falling asleep one night. Well, I was trying to fall asleep one night. And I was like, oh, man, it'd be really cool if I could carry a little dragon in my pocket. Like, that was it. Like, that was the original idea that I had. I was like, I just want to be able to carry a little pet.
Do you remember why you were thinking that? No. Not everybody has that thought, Mio. That's a very uniquely Mio type of thought.
So, yeah, the next day I just started playing with clay, and then I started making all these dragons. I couldn't choose on one like pose, so I just made like a bunch of them.
Oh, and yeah, so that's the line of toys that Mio has at Hot Topic.
And ooh, I just thought of an idea with that little dragon toy. What if you got, like, if somebody was interested in having the dragon toy and they wanted to put their dog's ashes in it?
Ooh.
A little pocket so they can carry their dog's ashes wherever they go in the little toy.
Oh.
Well, that's...
Anyways.
Sure.
All right, that's just... I don't know.
So, okay. So then once you have an idea and for you, your artistic medium is sculpting, you'll start actually... just diving in, or do you like sketch it out first and you make a plan first, or is it easier for you to just go willy-nilly?
I personally like sketching in clay. Like, that's my medium that I'm most comfortable in. If I can draw, I would love to be able to draw. Sometimes I do.
You can draw. Everybody's like, oh, I don't think she could draw. Yeah, right. Mio is such a great drawer. She's like, if I could draw, yeah, right. She's incredible at drawing.
It's not as process. I need a lot of references to draw.
One time Mio was like, this is what I'm imagining in my head of like this scene in my book that I'm wanting to create. And then in 5 seconds, she sketched out an elaborate, beautiful scenery. And it looked like she had spent hours drawing it, and it took her seconds to draw that.
I don't remember that.
Okay. When you do it every time I ever see you draw these beautiful things in 5 seconds. Okay, so then what do you do once you have like that first step of working with clay for you? Then what do you do?
Well, I feel like for me, I just have to follow through. And that's the hard part. Like, because a lot of times your passion kind of fizzles. But I think to be inspired, to continue, wanting to hold the end result in my hand is that motivation I need to keep at it. Like, okay, so now I have to finish the sculpture. I need to get it into mold, and then I have to cast them and then paint them and like actually do the...
Is it boring for you to do that stuff? And or like, what is it that that makes you get kind of bored?
It's not so much boredom, but it just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the sculptures that I do for my husband's collectible company, like, it takes me 2 to 3 months to sculpt something. And that's a long time to, like, commit yourself to finish something all the way through. And
do you have deadlines and stuff that puts pressure on you?
I need deadlines. So I make myself deadlines. Like, conventions are great for that. I have a convention that I need to attend in November. So I have 2 months to get stuff done, you know, like, yeah.
Good idea. So sign yourself up for events and you commit to, okay, I'm going to go to this event. And so I need to have something ready before that event. So even if you're not a sculptor, like if you're a writer or something, maybe you could sign up to a pitch fest where, okay, I'm going to pitch my script. I'm going to pay $300 or however much it costs. I don't even know. So I better have something to pitch.
Yeah, because you want your money's worth.
Right. And anybody who has any kind of creative idea out there, like, mom, your biggest creative idea is you want to, like, have your own store. You want to build little houses and stuff.
Oh, yeah, like a little retreat.
Yeah, so you have these creative ideas and you want to make them a reality.
There's so many ideas, but I took the first step and that was the property, but how am I going to get there?
Yeah, Mio, how does she do it?
It's money. It's all money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that money comes when steps are taken and actions are taken and you reach out to people and you make stuff happen. And I guess so with Mio, okay, this is all third house stuff, actually. So in astrology, I'm thinking like the little actions that you take daily in order to make your creative idea a reality is going to be different depending on what your creative idea is. So for Mio, it's the sculpting, it's the casting, it's the painting, and being diligent with that every single day and building and building and building until it's a reality. And then for me, it would be writing every day, writing, writing, writing. And then, mom, for you, it would be more practical. It would be the, like, I don't know, like reaching out to people to see if they could give you discounted materials. And hey, person over here who I like your vision, maybe I could call you and we could talk about, you know, some steps that I could take. You know, just any type of action that you can possibly take to get further along.
I've tried that with two different people. It didn't get anywhere.
So what happens, Mio, if you try stuff and then you hit blocks, you hit some little stumbling points?
Something that I don't know if this relates, but I do try to be like, okay, 15 minutes a day. Like after work, I'll work on my little projects 15 minutes a day. So I do try to make time for those projects. But to the blocks, I think there's something to be said about, it's really hard, but like to not have expectations of the end result and like trying to take yourself out of that headspace and like into the now and enjoying the process of actually creating it.
Right.
Because like, again, I'll just use the little embers as an example. I made those and I took them to the convention. I sold them for pretty cheap. Like they were hand casted, hand painted things. And I was selling them for like $45, which isn't that much for a handmade item, but they weren't selling. They're too small. And there's something to be said about like the size of something with the expectations of how much it's worth has to complete. And it didn't go anywhere for like 5 years.
So it
didn't move, but it just so happened that one day my husband's business partner saw them and they were like, oh my gosh, these are really cool. Let's make them into a toy, toy line. And so that's where somebody else was able to step in and take it to the next level. That was not what I was expecting. It's not something it was just a complete luck.
Happenstance, yeah. Yeah, and so you kept putting yourself out there all the time, just relentlessly. Like, you're just constantly, like, Mio is a very hard worker. She's working on stuff all day, every day. And so I'm just thinking about astrology. It's like third house stuff all the time. You're constantly in that creative space. And I think the more you do it, the less, like, the easier it is to have less expectations, because you start to realize, oh, it's fun to just work on this thing that I'm passionate about. And like, before, I was putting all of this weight on, like, if I take this one action, is something going to come of it? Because I wasn't taking enough actions. And so I put a lot of weight on the one action. And then when I'm consistently doing actions all the time, reaching out to people all the time and writing all the time, I'm kind of forgetting if something external is supposed to happen, because I'm having so much fun by myself, doing all of the stuff by myself. And then when the external thing happens, like, I'm just thinking of, like, reaching out to people to join the podcast. Like, before, I was just reaching out to one person at a time and, like, getting really extra hopeful if they were going to respond, and putting a lot of all of my energy into that one individual person. But then when you reach out to, like, 15 people in a day, you forget who you even reached out to. And so you're not really investing that much energy into an expectation.
Right.
And so you just keep doing that consistently every day. Somebody's going to reach out at some point. And it does take trust that you are good enough, you are worthy enough, and you're getting somewhere. Every action that you take, it's getting somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at that point, you're doing it so much that it just becomes second nature.
Now I'm thinking of your chart. Oh, so everybody who's curious, Mio is a, do you want to tell everybody what your big three is? I have her chart memorized, so she's a Pisces sun, a Pisces rising, and Aquarius moon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mom, do you have any questions about the stuff that we just chatted about, clarification or anything?
No, but, like, as thinking about, like, what she was saying, Mio, so she thought of the idea, she created it, and then she tried to push it, but at that time, I guess it wasn't time for it until it sat there. And so I think, like, she let that go and let it, like, be its own energy, I think, like, somewhere, like, sticking around. I'm going to stick around until the time is right. And then the timing was right for the other person that took over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mio, what was your biggest dream for those toys versus what actually happened? Like, were you just thinking, oh, I'll just sell these at conventions, and then that was the extent of your dream?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, she was just like, oh, I hope these sell at conventions. And then it didn't want to be sold at conventions. It wanted to be sold at Hot Topic. So you were putting limitations on the poor little dragons. You were saying, you're going to live here at the conventions. But they didn't want to live there. They wanted to live at Hot Topic.
You know, I've been to Hot Topic and I've seen these little characters. And they're like, maybe like a inch or 2 inches, is that what the
she's got one right there,
the little dragon. This one's like,
oh, those are so cute.
And she has a whole line, so it's not just dragons. She's got little abominable snowmans and Nessies, like Loch Ness monsters. And
ooh.
Do you have your stuffed animals nearby you too, Mio?
She makes stuffed animals too?
Yep.
But they're at work. I'm sorry. I wanted to show you the big one, big plushie that I made too.
Is it an alien?
No. I
Is
didn't
it
make
a Yeti?
But not a big one. It's a big dragon.
Oh, cool. I'm always so, like, every time you're like, I just made this cool thing, and then it's like amazing.
So like, to make a plush toy, did you actually get the stuffing and start sewing?
Yeah, so again, like, this is
she knows how to sew too.
She knows how to do literally everything, Mom. She knows how to use a chainsaw. I don't know. Like, because there's this shop that she works at where they build stuff. They build, she knows how to do wigs. She knows how to, like, any, like, if you need to create a monster and you need to build anything in the whole world, she knows how to do all of that stuff. She taught me how to sew.
Yeah, I think our job is to problem. Steve says that our job is to problem solve. So just like figuring out how to do stuff. So again, like, I never like learned how to make a plushie by from stuff. I just make it myself. So I don't know if this is how everybody does it, but I usually start with a sculpture. So I usually like make something in clay, and then I put tape over the whole sculpture, and then I cut the seam lines, and then I flatten out the surface of the sculpture, and then transfer it to fabric, and then I just start sewing. So
see, so smart. And so here's where my next question lies. Most people, when they don't know how to do something, some kind of unworthiness inside of them comes to the surface. They're like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not good enough to do that. That scares me. But with you, you like push past, like, do you ever have that feeling of, oh, I don't know how to do that? Or are you so used to not knowing how to do stuff that it doesn't bother you at all?
Like, it's imposter syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I have that too. I feel like that's my whole career. Just like, what? I'm just faking it. Like,
so when that feeling comes up, do you just be like, I'm gonna do it anyway?
Yeah, yeah. And if it doesn't work, I'll just try it another way, kind of thing.
See, that's what you gotta do, folks. So if you could summarize what people need to do when that happens, when the fear comes up, when the I don't know how to do something comes up, what should they do?
YouTube.
that's such a good answer. Yeah.
Go you to have YouTube. To push through. You have to, like, so my current fear was, how do I get to Oregon all by myself, pulling this trailer behind my truck down a 8% grade of a mountain during it's totally raining, the roads mm-hmm. are slippery, I have to do it, I have to get down to Oregon, I'm up here, what do? You're like, okay, because so you kind of have to plan, like, all right, there's this little area where all the trucks go if they lose their brakes. So just remember, you're going to have to use that too. I think you just have to find that little, like, obstacle and then, like, say, oh, if I can't do that, maybe I can do this. So mm-hmm. there's always something you can do to lead to.
Yeah, you always have some tool result. On your tool belt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not a fully developed tool, you use what you have and you trust that the resources that you do have and the steps that you do take will lead you to the next step. And then when you get to the next step, you figure it out from there. And it's just little mini steps, step by step by step. I don't know how to do a plushie at all, but I do know how to sculpt. So I'll sculpt. And now what do? I don't know. So now, well, I need the skin. Okay, what could be skin? Oh, I'll use this plastic or whatever you put on top of it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's just taking the resources that you have and making little courageous steps and trusting that the resources that you do have is good enough to get you to the next little step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am very blessed in that I have so many creative people around me. I can I can ask questions, and I can also, like, I'm at a point where if I can't do it, I can hire somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like expert level. And then I think everybody who has a phone or has internet access can say the same thing. Oh, I can't do it, but I know somebody who can. YouTube, Google, Pinterest.
Yes. Oh, love Pinterest.
I get so many good ideas from Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Instagram. You just, like, what is the little bare essentials of what my idea is? I don't know how to build off of this little tiny thing. All I know is this little tiny thing that I need to do. My mom didn't know anything except I gotta go to Oregon. She didn't know where in Oregon. She didn't know it. She knew one little thing. And from that one little idea, you can figure it out by putting a hashtag into Instagram and getting ideas from wherever you like to find your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good point too, that, like, creativity and having success with creativity is not necessarily about the arts. It can also it could be the same thing for any idea that you have that is outside of your current reality. So my mom moving is a creative idea, and it's like she mm-hmm. took something that didn't exist and she made it into reality.
So the next thing I need to do is figure out how to be a vendor at places that keep telling me no, they're full.
For crystals?
Oh, right.
It's so, yeah. They're so, like, oh, sorry, we'll get in contact with you next year. I'm like, no, I need to make the money now, not next year.
Do you know anybody that's like vending already?
No, I don't know anybody.
Hmm.
Well, I do know one person, and sometimes she sends me links, and it's the same link that I've used to get in contact with people, but it's already too late. Sorry, those spots are full.
Yeah, the question is, how do you sneak into somebody's yes instead of just getting no's all the time?
Right.
Yeah, Mio, how did you get the job that you're working at now?
I feel like I'm not the person to answer that question, though, because, like, you taught me, I'm a projector. It's always better for me to be invited in.
Yes, for the people who don't know what she's talking about human design, and we did an episode on episode 2 about human design. And so both me and Mio are projectors, and the way our energy works is we're not really supposed to be the person to go out there and knock on doors, and instead we get invited. But I will say, Mio, that you can still reach out to people as a projector if there is an energetic invitation. So for me, I'm the person that is trying to get people onto this podcast. And if I feel like the person that I'm reaching out to is on my same wavelength and there's some sort of recognition there, and I feel like they would get me, then it's like I feel like there's an open door for me to reach out. It feels like an invitation. Whereas some people, if I were to reach out, I would feel like they wouldn't really get my vibe and that the door feels closed. And so I shouldn't reach out to them.
Mm. Also, like, I feel like as a bigger umbrella of having a podcast, reaching out to people might already be embedded in like tasks that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, I feel like that's already like an invitation to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a reason to.
We have a reason
to talk to you right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to just that question in general that my mom asked, because it is a good question, of how do you get people to say yes to you? So even though you're a projector, how do you create the environment for people to invite you to stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Versus having people not want to invite you to anything.
Yeah. So yesterday, this lady, I went to a fest. It wasn't a festival. It was an indoor event for holiday things. So I was driving around and I saw it, and I'm like, let me turn in there and see how I could get in there and be a vendor. And the lady wasn't available for me to talk to. But I did talk to this other lady who makes her own jewelry with crystals, of course. And she was talking about how her mom and her dad started this company in the garage. And to this day, they still making crystals jewelry in their garage. And I was like, if you need anybody, an assistant or something, I'm available. Or if you do vendor or other festivals and stuff, I could help. So she's like, here's my card, contact me on Instagram. And I said also that me and my daughter do a podcast. And if you would be interested in maybe joining our podcast and explaining how you do your jewelry with crystals, I think that would be a good. She's like, oh, well, just find me on Instagram. And so I was like, all right, okay, bye, thanks.
You know what it makes me think of is the story that Mio already told about her dragons, that she was trying to make stuff happen in a small arena, but actually there was a larger arena that was a better fit. And so maybe you are putting your eggs in little tiny baskets, and you have larger baskets out there that are more aligned. And so you just kind of got to keep like throwing your fishing line in the pond. And then if it doesn't, if no little fish are catching, then, you know, you're just doing it.
Maybe it's what I've got at the end of the line. I'm not baiting it right.
It sounds like you just need visibility so people can find you somehow, right? Like,
yeah.
That's hard.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I mean, millions of people have some great ideas. And
Well, Mio, can you tell us your origin stories? Like, how did you go from being somebody that was unseen into somebody who is now seen?
Am I seen?
Your work, you have, like, how many followers on Instagram? All these people going to Comic-Con seeing your work. Like, your stuff is seen. You're seen in movies.
I've seen your stuff, too.
My mom saw it.
It's magnificent. I'm like, oh my gosh, how did that, like, how old were you when you first started your first little idea and then took off from there?
I've always made stuff since I was really little. Like, I remember in high school, I really got into Harry Potter and I wanted a wand. So I bought a piece of wood and
or like you a bought one. You could get it from a tree.
Yeah. Bought a dowel and I like into the shape of a wand, like, and I stained the wood and everything.
Yes. I've done that. I literally have my wand in the other room where I did that.
So I guess like I've always been interested in prop making and all that. But Yeah, so after college, which I studied art in college, and then I was a server at a restaurant, and I was like, this isn't what I'm meant to be doing. I want to pursue art. So
And were people seeing your art when you were in college? Were they like, wow, Mia, this is so cool?
not
Well, I don't
really.
trust what you say because you think you're not seen right now, so maybe you were.
I think it was a different kind of art. I did a lot of costume design in school too. And then, yeah, so my sister was like, "Why don't you come down to LA? You should be closer to me," because my sister was in LA. So I packed up all my stuff and I drove down to LA. My first job that I found, I was office manager at a hair accessory company, and I was miserable. I was like, this is not what my life is supposed to be.
Right.
So that's when and I was thinking about this because of the questions you asked, but I had a lot of hobbies, and it was really hard to narrow down what I wanted to do. But at the end of the day, I was like, I would pass by the Hollywood sign and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm in Hollywood. I should be working in film. Like, that's always what I've been interested in. So, and I would be on YouTube again, watching behind the scenes. And like, one of the books that really inspired me was this book by Stan Winston, which he's one of the greatest like special effects companies back in the day. May he rest in peace. He did like Jurassic Park and Terminator and all that stuff. But and I was like, oh, I'll do special effects because that's what I love. And so I quit my job at the hair accessory company and I decided to go to makeup school. And it was a 4-month program. 2 months of that was beauty makeup, and then the latter 2 months was special effects. And then when I was in the beauty portion of the class, they're like, if you're going to become a makeup artist, beauty is your bread and butter. Like, that's what most of your job will be. And special effects jobs will be like far and few in between. I was like, oh man, like, I don't like beauty. I pretty much like went to makeup school and realized that I don't want to be a makeup artist. But then I found out that I love sculpting.
How
And
did you find that out, though? Through the
in the
portion of
latter,
the, yeah.
yeah, the latter 2 months of the course was when you got like when they give you clay and you can sculpt little prosthetic pieces to glue on your face and stuff like that. So,
Had you not sculpted before then?
no. Well, I did like ceramics, so like, made pots and
Oh.
but I hadn't really sculpted stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what, and I was like, I can be a sculptor for a living, like that's cool. And so that just kind of shifted my path, and I decided that that's what I really wanted to pursue.
Okay, so then you started pursuing it, and were you instantly successful, or was there some like moments of what was in between success?
Well, after I graduated, I pretty much like shut myself in my apartment. I was actually very fortunate to meet some really cool artists that were willing to train me. But I sculpted for 6 months straight in my apartment, made a portfolio. And then that year was actually the first year that they had this convention called Monster Palooza. And
You go there
I
every year, huh?
yeah and I volunteered as a staff, and I wanted to I volunteered to work there. And so while I was working, I would like hold my little portfolio, and anytime somebody that I knew from the industry walked in, I was like, can you please look at my portfolio?
Oh Oh, and so as a projector, did that feel cringy for you to do that?
Yeah.
Or did you feel, like there was an energetic invitation?
Probably wasn't energetic. Like, it wasn't rude to go up to somebody, you know, like the convention. So I don't think I was being rude. Oh, I hope I
Well, not rude, but like cringy of like, oh man, like I don't want to go up to this guy. He's gonna be annoyed.
that's the joke that Steve always tells, because that was the first time I met Steve, my
Right.
husband. And I went up to him and I was like, can you please look at my
Because Steve is a big deal. Steve is like a hot shot in that industry. And so he looked at your portfolio, and then did he instantly hire you, or what? How did what happened
No,
there?
it was 4 years later that he actually hired me on another on a project, but
So what were you doing in between?
I got some internships and I started interning as a sculptor. I was very lucky. I think I met the I was able to meet the right people at the right time.
From
That
Monsterpalooza?
that and introduction from my one of my teachers at Cinema Makeup School.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I worked at a company that made cadavers for crime TV shows like NCIS
Ooh.
and CSI Las Vegas and
Well, let me ask you a question. Like, how do you even get the teachers and the gurus and the people to take you on and to guide you and stuff? Do you ask them?
They were offering classes.
But
So
it, so did these people that said, "Hey, Mio, I got the hookup for you and maybe you can meet this guy." Like, how does that happen? Do you say, "Hey, teacher, do you have the hookup?" Or are they just like, here you go?
yeah, it was kind of a here you go. I was very lucky.
Okay.
Like I the teacher was taking, like, there was another guy too that was in the same class as me, and he kind of set up a like a kind of a tour to go around some of the studios across the city. So that's when I was able to, like, can you please hire me?
Okay, so your teacher set up a tour where you can meet people, and then you met the people. So it wasn't like your teacher singled you out and said, "Hey, Mio, check this out."
No,
Okay, so they, all right, so you put yourself in an environment where that was part of the curriculum to meet people, and then you met people. Okay, so that's easy. 'Cause I was thinking it was all luck, and I'm like, well, how do you like, what do you do if you're not v very lucky? You create your own luck by putting yourself in the right environment, is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yes.
cool. So, it's already an hour that we've been chatting, by the way. That went by super quick.
Yeah.
Mom, do you have any other questions for Mio?
Yeah. So this so I've seen your work with your husband, what you do. But what you work with is like your favorite thing to do is clay. Is that the right type of? So when you're making your little dragons to send to, I don't know, the next step for whoever makes mass products for all the hot topics. Oh, where does that go? How does that happen? What's that direction?
Are you asking specifics? Like,
No, like
well,
where, so you make your little product and then you show it to the
so
next
Mio
person.
went to there's a convention where all these different artists are making their little toys, their little stickers, like whatever they're, they make some art. And then there's all these booths at the convention. And so Mio would always put her stuff out at the convention. And so the story that she told earlier was that Steve's friend, or his somebody that he worked with, saw her stuff and was like, hey, we should make those into toys. And he works at Toynami, right? And so Toynami is like, they can produce
the
toys. And then from there, I guess that guy made a contract or something.
Yeah, so I made a contract with him where I would get royalty.
And so Toynami went to pitch it to different places?
Yes. To find, like, he would talk to other buyers and, yeah, he would go to conventions and talk to the buyers and they'd come to agreements.
So cool. Love that story.
So I guess my last question for you, Mio, is, like, it just makes me think of the people who don't know where to start. Things feel messy for them because they haven't been creative in a while and they've been stagnant for a long time. I've been in this space. And I know I've talked to you about this a lot over the years. But these people who feel stuck, they don't know what they want to create. They don't know where to start. What's your advice for those people?
Like, I think to be creative, you need to be inspired, right? So, 'cause I think passion is what really is the drive to get things rolling.
Well, I could give an example for myself. So I decided that, here's the journey of my own creativity. So I have always liked clay and sculpting little stuff, but I'm not a professional or anything. And when I was a little kid, I was sculpting little random stuff all the time. And then I just stopped doing it as an adult. And it was because I wasn't inspired. And then one day I was on TikTok and I saw somebody sculpting something, like little house stuff. And before, when I was a kid, I always see you sculpting, Mio, I always see you sculpting like creatures and stuff. And when I was a kid, I was sculpting little faces and stuff. And I realized in that moment, oh, I'm not inspired to sculpt people and creatures. I'm inspired to sculpt stuff, which is kind of opposite of you. Like, I want to sculpt a little house. I want to, like, some kind of house stuff. I really like house stuff. And I didn't know that about myself until I saw that video. And so maybe the first step is, if there's a certain medium that you like, whether it's writing or sculpting or painting, whatever, just like go look at videos of that stuff, of people doing different versions of that thing, and see where you might be inspired. And then the next step of my inspiration journey was I found somebody on Instagram who was making little ceramic furniture, and then she was decorating the little ceramic furniture with little ceramic stuff. So she made a little table, and then she made a little mini, so I basically I'm copying her. And because I haven't sculpted in so long, I don't know what my skill set is. I could allow myself to be stagnant and just never do anything with the sculpting, but I know I can copy exactly what she did. And so I think that if you start there, you start to get more ideas and you start to let your creativity go wild a little bit, so that next time you'd be like, well, next time I'm going to try it like this. And then you start to branch away from copying and you start to step into your own groove.
Yes. And I think I came across like an Instagram post that said something very similar. And I totally agree with you. I think there's a lot to learn from copying other artists that you like. I think the integrity of being an artist is very important. Like, never sell your art if it's not your own work. Don't claim that it's yours. Always give credit to the original artist. Like, that kind of integrity is really important. But I think educating yourself from other artists, that's awesome. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. And then, yeah, once you're inspired, then you can start making it your own. And that's where, you know, things can.
Yeah, and it's going to take you on a journey. And it's not necessarily the very first thing you do is the cure-all to your life. Mm-hmm. It's probably just the first thing that you needed in order to create momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because if you're this far away, like I'm for people who are not watching the video, my hands are very spaced apart from each other. If you're this far away from your destiny and you have to somehow get there, you got to take some kind of steps to get there. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of those steps are, you know, they're just kind of dumb stuff, but it's still fun. And it's maybe it's irrelevant, and it, but it's just, you're in it for the ride.
It also reminds me of this author named, I think their name was Ira Glass, and they talk about the gap where your, like, what you make versus what you can envision in your mind, there's a gap. And the way to close that gap is just repetition. Just do it over and over and over again. Because, yeah, it's important to enrich your inner library of references and art. It's why it's so awesome to go to museums and just to enrich your inner library of things that you like, don't like, you know, being able to navigate your discernments of, yeah, what it is that you like.
And yeah, I noticed something that you do, Mio, what, like, you walk your talk, is you'll be out in the world and you'll see an interesting swirl of a pattern on a tree and you'll take a picture of it. And you log this stuff in your mind, and then you, when you're creating, you go back to the things that inspired you just when you were out in the world. And the first time I saw you doing that, I was like, whoa, that's really cool. I've never seen anybody just take a picture of like a curvy little curlicue and then like decide, oh, I'm gonna try to replicate that, or I'm just gonna keep that in the back of my mind or something.
Yeah, and like, nature is the greatest teacher. It really is, like, everything. Crystals, so beautiful.
Well, Mio,
every time I'm driving, like, here in Oregon now, I see so many different colors of trees, and it's fall time, so there's like so many. I was just thinking about it yesterday, like, sitting quietly in my messy house. I'm like, how many colors did I see today? I saw peach and green and forest green and lime green and avocado green. And then I saw like red and magenta and golds and browns and yellows and oranges and peaches and all the colors of fall. And I was like, yeah, that was nice. And so I took a picture.
That's good to know that I am inspired by the colors of fall. What do I do with that? And then, now that you're inspired by the colors of fall, how can I do something about it? how can I paint a picture? Can I create a crystal grid that matches the crystal?
I could do a crystal grid for sure.
Yeah. So that's a great example. So for my last question, Mio, do you have anything you want to impart onto the world, or and then after that, I need to ask you how people can find you.
Oh. I also wanted to say, Amber, thank you so much for having me here today, by the way.
You're welcome.
But like, you were there for me while I was going through like my transitioning into like opening my third eye and all this stuff, and that aspect of the things that you taught me influence how I work in my art today.
Oh, what an honor.
I just wanted to extend a really big thank you to you for being there for me when I was going through all that and teaching me. Because I did a sculpture of Anubis, and I don't think I would have been able to meet and see him in my mind's eye without having gone through that with you. So
yeah, because what Mio, man, me and Mio have such a cool story of our spirituality. When Mio and I first started getting into mystical stuff, I was holding a crystal and I was like, "Crystal, what should we do?" And then, that's not what happened. I was meditating and asking how you could open your third eye or something like that. And then in my meditation, it was like, talk to a crystal. And I was like, what? And then, so then I grabbed a crystal, just any old crystal that I had. And then I held the crystal and then I like tuned into it. Like I meditated with the energy of the crystal. And then the crystal was like showing me all this stuff and telling me all this stuff. And Mio and I were like, whoa! And then we got obsessed with crystals. We meditated with every single crystal we owned collectively, both of us. We're like, hey, I got a new crystal. You want to meditate with it? And then we went to Mount Shasta and meditated with every single crystal that was in the crystal shop in Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
But that skill of like tuning into the consciousness of something. Oh, there's the crystal we got around Shasta. So cool. Have you meditated with it in a while recently?
I haven't. It's my connection.
Oh, it's a with cupcake.
Your children.
Say that again. You cut out a little bit, Mio.
Oh, I. This is the crystal that I use to talk with my hybrid children.
So that's a whole other conversation. I was going to ask Mio to come on and talk about aliens. So
what about them?
Mio has all these connections with aliens, and so that's a whole other episode.
What are we talking about that?
Because, well, I didn't want to put Mio on the spot because she
is on the spot right now.
Well, now she's all comfortable after talking to us for an hour.
Yeah. So. Well, can we do a part two?
Yeah, let's do a part two, and then we'll talk about your hybrid alien children that you have.
Ooh.
That crystal that she has is how she talks, she connects with these other beings.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could tap into that and hear it.
You can. We'll just have to show you how.
All right. That is a good episode. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to have to do part two, Mio.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Dan, how do we find you?
Oh, I think the best way is Instagram. My Instagram name is Quirky Monster.
All right.
find me there.
All right, we will. Okay, everybody, go follow Mio. And thank you so much, Mio, for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, Mio.
Bye, thank you.
All righty. What'd you think?
Good. I can't wait for the second part.
Are you inspired?
Inspired. Definitely not to do any clay figurines because that is not my forte. I could not.
Oh, there was a whole segment that I forgot to do that I was going to do, but we were so deep into our conversation that it's fine. But I just got a whole bunch of new sculpting tools and I was going to be like, okay, Mom, what do you think this is for?
Oh, I know what that's for because I used it for my cup.
Oh, so you actually know some stuff. What about...
Oh, this cup. How about... What if I go like this? There, now you can see it.
Do you know what this is for? This, for the podcast listeners, it's a little stick with two silver balls on the end. And it's kind of heavy.
It's for making this indention of a ball.
I think so.
Something smoothing out in the middle or something.
Yeah, too bad Mio already left because that would have been funny to have her correct you.
And that slab or that slicer thingy is just to smooth things out.
Oh, okay.
Is it or not?
Well, I don't know.
Oh.
That's why I was going to ask Mio. But
oh, okay.
These are so fun. I spent like...
Oh, I know that tool too.
I spent probably like a half hour of my time or maybe even longer of not even playing with clay, but just staring at all my cool tools. And I was like, oh, and holding them and I like, oh, like clinking them together and just being so happy to have toys. It felt like I had all these new toys.
So yeah. Fun.
A big part of my creativity boost recently, because I've been creating every single day. I've been writing every single day. I've been doing different types of art every single day, whether it's painting or drawing or sculpting. And I think for me, the biggest thing is to just have all the materials, because if you have a bunch of materials just sitting around and you have them easily accessible to you, it makes it so much easier to just do it. Like you just, like I have it all sitting around my desk that I'm at right now. And I just walk over to the desk and then I grab something, maybe it's watercolors, maybe it's something. And then it's just easy to create. And then even if I create something dumb, it gets me in the right mood to create something cool.
Well, while you're talking right now, for some reason I got this, I remember this girl, I watched her in an episode of Happy Days and she wore all black leather. And she sang music and she was really hot and popular. And her name was Pinky Tuscadero. And you look like Pinky Tuscadero right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
With my cool right. Glasses on?
Yeah, she was like a cool, I don't know what she was. It was back in the 60s. I don't know what she's compared to. But
does she have a catchphrase?
She used to slap her leg and then she'd do a little gun thing.
All right. So that's how we can say bye to everybody in the episode today. All right, everybody. Sunday,
Monday, yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Saturday.